rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alle, 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 alleluia. Alle, 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 alleluia. Alle, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Before we begin, please join me in our prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, things happened a little out of order this morning, but I think Mary probably felt the same way. So, well, roll with it. So many of you all who have been here for a little bit at our church know that I used to have a different role here, a more frequently involved role during the week. That every Wednesday and Thursday for several years, I provided operational and pastoral support to the community dinner on Wednesday nights and to the food pantry on Thursday mornings. These programs that are kind of the most regular and biggest part of the hunger program that we run together as a church. And I was so fortunate to be part of a complex and lively and caring community of volunteers from our church and from the wider neighborhood and city, and community of guests who came to eat every week and get groceries. And as in any living community, there weren't hard lines. Like, I was a staff person, a pastor, but I was also part of the community. And a lot of other people, too, had multiple roles. Like, you might come to get a bag of groceries, but stay to stand behind a table and distribute groceries to your neighbor. Or the Wednesday night dinner for you, you might only come occasionally, but come to church every Sunday. And just pop in every once in a while. Or maybe on Wednesday you might arrive to prep some soup, but stay to eat it in community, realizing that you too were hungry. The hunger program is primarily concerned, it's like first goal is to feed bodies, to address the kind of hunger or food insecurity that results in not knowing where your next meal might come from, or agonizing over stretching dollars or food stamps until the end of the month, or skipping a meal so your children can eat. It's the most primary and unjust kind of hunger, the most immediate and urgent. And so when Jesus tells us to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, to visit the prisoner, I do think that he means it literally. And in our local and limited way, that is the purpose of the hunger program. And so it gives me like really tremendous joy to hear from Pastor Ann and from other people that the hunger program is serving more people with more love and more efficiency every month. The hunger program taught me a lot about feeding people, about feeding each other, about hunger. and about different kinds of hunger, about hungers of the body, like I've described, and hungers of the spirit and of relationship. It taught me that while I still have the grateful privilege, the blessing of never having been truly food insecure, I've certainly been hungry in other ways. Wanted for love or for community, for understanding, for meaning. And I was not alone in that. That the difference between the mundane, the kind of daily things, and the sacred, the difference between the meaningful and the pointless, is sometimes as simple as being alone or being together in it. If you've ever been here on a day when the hunger program is in operation, you know that these big, like sometimes 18-wheelers that really are not made to go on Milton Street, nevertheless come and bring big quantities of dry goods that we give out each week. And these trucks are like consistently and frustratingly, even like infuriatingly late sometimes, to the point where like you wonder if they're ever going to come. And they probably still are. I mean, we could have a report, but
this past week.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't exactly miss them, to tell the truth, those big like 18-wheeler trucks. But I do remember one particular memorable Wednesday in which we waited and waited and waited, it sounds like just last Wednesday too, for that delivery to come. And dinner had begun, much of the food for the next day wasn't even here yet, anxiety was kind of building. And when the truck finally came halfway through dinner, the driver, very predictably, could not find parking on Milton Street that would not block the entire street to traffic. And he didn't even know. He was like trying to tell us that he didn't have the person power and he couldn't find parking, and he didn't even know whether or not he'd be able to unload the truck. And so me, of little faith, still living to expect scarcity, you know, I thought maybe I could find two or three people who might be willing to help him. And when I got up during dinner and I said that this driver needed help or we weren't going to be able to get the food out, I would say that probably 25 people stood up from their dinner or from their serving tray or from the dishes that they were washing and went out into the cold and the dark to form a human chain, to pass these groceries from one set of arms to the other until the sanctuary was full. And in some ways, it's a little thing. It's not going to save the whole world, or it's not even going to fix the systemic causes of hunger. But it taught me that the hunger for community, for connection, to take care of one another, is deep enough to drive me and a whole lot of other people, like two dozen other people, out into the cold and the dark to lift heavy things together, to lift heavy things for one another. And each week, people came through the doors of the church to make food and to eat food, to take groceries, to give them away. Maybe you've been one of them. And yes, there's a real and important sense of needing to get something or wanting to give something that brings us in here. But I think there's another kind of hunger too, this hunger of needing to connect, of wanting to create meaning and find purpose in ourselves and with other people. And the reality is that we're all hungry in this way, whether we've ever experienced other kinds of hunger or are privileged enough to say that we've not. We're all hungry for this connection, to have meaningful relationships, to be whole enough to be able to receive love and to give love to others. Mary's song in Luke 1 is about God's coming reign of justice. She delivers it after She's been told that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, and she's gone to visit her her cousin, Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, who I think we've heard about a few different times over Advent. And it's like, it's an amazing and subversive song. I could preach on it every week. Just put it into the bulletin for every single week, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's subversive because, like the Sermon on the Mount, for example, it turns things around. It turns upside down our established hierarchies. And it's also subversive because it absolutely rejects the notion that Mary was meek or mild or unsure of what she was doing or how she felt. It's a powerful song sung by a powerful woman who was likely scared, because who wouldn't have been in her situation, but who sang about a new world anyways. And listening to what Mary says about hunger ties into how the hunger program is about physical hunger, but also about spiritual hunger and community. Her song, too, is about the physical, but also the spiritual and emotional aspects of hunger and fulfillment. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, she sings. Perhaps the rich are sent away empty, not because there's something inherently wrong with them or their state, because they don't even know that they're hungry. They can't hold anything else. To be rich in this sense is to suffer under an illusion that initially feels comforting, but will eventually turn deadly. That an individual is sufficient unto themselves. That I don't need anyone or anything. To be rich is to be isolated in our own self-sufficiency. To be filled, as the song says, with the good things are things that are only fully available in relationship and community. Love, mercy, justice, care, to name a few. To be filled with them, we must first be able to admit that we need them, that we too are hungry. That we've all felt that deep hunger, that authentic longing whose emptiness can sometimes be as pronounced as a physical ache. Perhaps we moved to this city to find other people like us, but that first year was so lonely. Or a beloved person was lost to us through death or rupture, and we felt as if we would never be full again, never be ourselves again. Or what once felt like a life's work began to seem pointless or suffocating. These are big life cycle things. But there are even seemingly little things. A stalled 6 train packed to the gills at rush hour. A child with another cold picked up at daycare. A partner working late and leaving us alone yet another night. We have so many ways, so many hungers. And so the hunger program here at our church was one thing that showed me that I too was hungry, that I needed community and connection and love and meaning, that I couldn't find those things fully in myself, but that I needed to reach out to God and to other people to be filled. It's when we can't feel and connect with our hunger that we become most isolated from ourselves, from God, from other people. So what are you hungry for this Advent season? On what do you wait? Joy or hope? Love? Connection? Community. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, as our welcome says, you're welcome at our table as we work to live into these promises of Mary's song. Amen.